Ball hit deep in the left center field. Wise back. Makes the catch!
What a play!
Wade Wise makes the catch! What a play by Wise! Mercy!
This is the Shoeless Goat Podcast.
Brent Brown drops the ball! He drops the ball! 3 runs will score!
You gotta be paping me! What in the hell are you doing?
Hello and welcome back to the Shoeless Goat Podcast for Cubs, White Sox, and MLB Podcast. I'm your host, Nick. I'm joined again by the man you should bet against, apparently, Patrick Bovard, the mayor of Section 509. You've been better, but how are you?
I'm doing better now. With the extra week off in between recordings, it gave me a little bit more time to digest what happened. But as funny as that is, I think that pretty much every baseball playoff bet I placed was on the White Sox. They all lost except for the Game 3 win. And then I bet on the Braves to win Saturday night, and that happened. So, maybe I'm back on my game.
Turn the tides around. What I'm referring to is, and I'm just going to keep ribbing you, I guess, was every single playoff series you predicted incorrect?
Well, it depends on how you want to talk about the wild card one. If it's like the play-in game in that March Madness, and you pick the team slash the other, so you kind of pick one to win. Like the Red Sox, I had the Yankees winning the wild card game, but I had that team getting to the ALCS. So given I got every other series wrong, I'm going to at least give myself credit for seeing the Rays losing. So I got that part of, I got like half a series right.
See, I was doing so good until I wasn't, right? Like I had the Red Sox winning, I had the Dodgers winning. Then I had San Francisco beating the Dodgers didn't happen. I had Brewers going to the World Series, I had Rays go to the World Series. So, the only way I would have beat you in a like March Madness style bracket, because we both did so poorly, was because of those first round games, which are ever so important and only worth like 10 points in most major bracket pools. Yep.
I mean, and the other thing too is like thinking about that whole thing, I always say like if you're taking a multiple choice test or something and you get every single question wrong, that means you at least kind of know something. So at least, I have that solid set. It's like, okay, it's just the exact opposite of everything.
You mean like in a true false, right?
Yeah,
it's just as hard to get them all right as it is to get them all wrong.
Yeah, I said that with parlays too. If you have like a 10-leg parlay and you get every single one wrong, you should at least get your money back.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's why not, right? The sports books should be all over that.
Exactly.
but in any case, we're going to talk about the White Sox in just a sec. Wanted to bring up the Cubs' new information, new GM. We're going to talk about that later, I think. But just important to know that they are going a different direction with some young blood, and we'll see how it plays out. More likely than not, looking like a rebuild situation is about to occur. But I think that'll be something we discuss probably at our end of season episode, or maybe, like a winter meetings episode or something like that. We'll figure all that out. I need to do my research on this guy. I'll start with just not even knowing his name. But we'll get
Carter
there.
Carter Hawkins, is that it?
Yeah, you got it. I had no idea. Yeah, so, but in any case, Sox, White Sox did not go as far as you thought. I had him pegged pretty spot on. That was one game off mentally. Spot on in our episode prediction where I had them losing in 4. But mentally had them losing in 3. But in any case, thoughts, Pat? I know it's tough to bring up. I gave you a little bit of extra time to recover, although we didn't do ourselves any favors trying to recover on Saturday. But in any case.
That's why we're doing this on Monday and not Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. The two-day hangover exists.
It keeps getting longer and longer.
And much like with the World Series hangover, the two-day hangover.
Or the AL Central hangover, I guess you could call it, more appropriately for this conversation.
Fair enough. So give me bird's eye view thoughts, and then we'll dig into it a little bit deeper. Just pull the Band-Aid off.
Yeah, it sucked. I don't think there's any way to put that. I wrote a blog about this, and I think really the main thing is, you can talk about how, they won the AL Central. That was cool. So they finally put it together for 162 games. Got some good development stories like Rodon. Lance Lynn looked like a Cy Young player. Yasmani Grandal was one of the better hitting catchers in baseball. Arguably the best if you take out Selvey's 48 home runs. A lot of metrics has him as the best. Yoan Moncada, but maybe it wasn't as good as you would have expected. Tim Anderson is a Silver Slugger finalist. Luis Robert looked like the best hitter in baseball last month's season. All that, though, doesn't really matter. If you're going to basically consider the season as like a monolith, like success, failure, binary, 0-1, black, white, you can't consider that a success. They basically went all in to get this manager with playoff experience again through the playoffs. And instead of getting dismantled with an undermanned team in the wild card round, they got dismantled with what I'll still say, you might disagree, a lot of people might disagree, a team that really is not that far off the Astros talent-wise on paper, and you got taken to the wood chipper by them. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for that. So your starting pitchers being the strength of your team and having a 10 ERA in a four-game series isn't any good. Everybody in your bullpen not named Ryan Tepera having a bad series, also not great. And your top six hitters that were supposed to be the vaunted part of your lineup getting one extra base hit in the series also isn't good enough. So whatever you want to say about La Russa, it was pretty much a failure across the board, which makes it even more disappointing. You know, if they would have gone out and played a tough fought five-game series, went tooth and nail down to the wire, and the Astros went on to win the World Series, it would have sucked in the moment. But I think looking back, you could be like, you know, they gave the team that ended up winning it all everything they had, and, you know, it could have gone either way. But this was as one-sided as a playoff series gets. I'm sure as an outsider's perspective, you're seeing that too, but like there wasn't much of a fight outside of the last six innings of game three. That was all it was.
Yeah, I was going to say they were a spirited comeback away from getting swept. Yep. And they didn't follow it up the way they should have. Lost at home in front of the fans. I guess I have a lot of questions. One of them being the La Russa question. Now, I know the answer to the should he keep his job, the answer is yes. But caveat, if you could pick any other manager, like let's say, you know, would you fire him if you had your hand pick of any other current MLB manager?
Probably. Like if I could pick anybody and I could, you know, maybe go back in a time machine and get AJ Hinch, you know, somebody like that, probably. But I don't like his decisions. Some of the pitching decisions weren't great, but like when the team is playing that badly, I don't know what he can do. Like every bullpen move was blowing up outside of Tepera. And like the West, I do like a lot of the coaches they have in place. I think hitting coach is probably the one place they need to make a change, given they were the only team in the bottom 10 of the league, or top 10, I guess, in ground ball rate in baseball to make the playoffs, which is really saying something. But I mean, I don't know what he would have done differently there, but I think, you know, I mean, if you could have anybody, I'd go, I don't know, maybe AJ Hinch, maybe Alex Cora, maybe Dave Roberts, but would they have won that series either? And I think that answer is no.
I think that, and this philosophy is totally, could be argued about for sure, but I think that managing is so much more important in the first 162. Yep. Totally. But then when you get to the playoffs, it's basically up to the manager not to blow it. Yep. And I think Joe Maddon did a really, he flirted with that blowing it line in 2016, and the players did just enough in spite of some of the questionable decisions he made. So that's kind of my take on it. Although the only problem with that philosophy is that they really didn't need La Russa to get to the playoffs.
He didn't get him any. I mean, I guess you could say he made the playoffs in a 162 game season, but would they have gotten the same result with Rick Renteria? And I would say I don't see what would have been different. Like, I think La Russa did better than I thought he was going to do with the team. I feel like some of it might just be, you know, corporate, like public speak, where they all talk about how much they like him. But I genuinely think he meshed with this group better than probably any of us were expecting him to. And early in the year, there was some rust with the decision-making, but I think as the year went on, it got better. But like, that was one of the things when you made that move, is that if they didn't win with La Russa, then you were always opening up a question of why did you make that move? Because that's what you're judging it by. The GM is talking about, talk to me after the parade. Tim Anderson is going on the radio before the season saying we're the best team in the American League. They're all saying the World Series is the goal, so getting dispatched without barely a fight in the DS isn't going to cut it.
Yeah, and I also, not to like beat a dead horse, but I don't even think they did enough in this playoffs to warrant saying we're going to learn from this. They didn't get far enough to learn any lessons, and that's, I think, the biggest problem. Because if they got to the CS, then you could say, look, now they know how to win a playoff series. They were, you know, two games away from being the AL's pennant, you know, winner and representative to the World Series. They don't have any of that.
Nope.
They did. I mean, they're going into now this, I guess you can call it second and a half or third competitive season, still without playoff experience, if you ask me. I think they know how to lose in the playoffs, but everybody can lose in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, and then I mean, like this year, on top of it, they probably had the easiest path to the playoffs they will ever get. Only one team was like actively trying to win into like June. After that, everybody, you could talk about the Tigers playing better in the second half, but none of the other teams were trying to win this year after the Twins fell off.
I think it was to the detriment of the White Sox, right? Because I've been saying it all year is that they haven't played a meaningful game of baseball. It was like it was the same thing that people had questions, and rightfully so, about Quintana, was because they're like, oh, he's never pitching an important game. Well, and then he started pitching in important games in Chicago and on the north side and didn't do so well.
Yeah.
I feel like the same thing kind of happened. And, you know, who knows? I don't even think there's going to be a season next year. So now we're going to have
that's the whole
worst case scenario is not only that, you got you know, boat race out of the playoffs, and then everybody who, if they could take anything from it, has to wait a whole another 2 years to swing a bat in a meaningful game. You can't come back from that.
And I mean, you're looking at contracts, though, with that too. Grandal's got 2 years left. I think Giolito has two years left. So guys, like, the clock's starting to tick here on some of these guys. And I mean, if you think about it too, like, if that happens, then you basically go 3 years without Luis Robert playing a full 162 in that contract you signed him to.
It's truly the worst case scenario for the Sox. Well,
and the whole the
more
playoff,
than any other team.
Yeah. The whole playoff experience. Well, then, yeah, the Blue Jays are coming in the AL. Some of these teams, Houston's not going to go away anytime soon. The Tigers are getting better. The Twins,
I would say Detroit's coming too.
Yeah. Kansas City, I mean, I don't think they're as good as Detroit's going to be, but they're at least going to be competitive. But like the whole playoff experience thing, like, you can talk about that all you want, but like, I guess this Braves group went to the LCS last year. They've made it a couple times, but like, I mean, I hate doing this, but you go back to the Cubs' first three playoff appearances, it's LCS ring LCS. They didn't have to go through like, well, we made it to the wild card. Now we made it to the DS. Now we made it to the ALCS. Like, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, no, you have to overshoot your shot by at least one round to consider it a success. Yeah. Well, Cubs making the playoffs in 15 was what seemed like mission accomplished, and then they kept winning. Yep. So then the standard was, this isn't even good. Like, losing to the Mets, especially getting swept by the Mets, everyone looked back at the end of that game, at game four, knowing they would have lost the series anyway, and said, we need to step it up now, because now we know what it tastes like. Yeah. The Sox didn't even get a taste.
No, I mean, that's the thing. If you would have like told me going into this year, like, you get to the playoffs, but you get like, boat raced out by the Astros round one, I would have been like, I think I literally named the Astros as one of those teams. Like, that's not the success. And it's like, the thing is too, with this lineup is like, I don't know what one, I think if you look at the American League, if you could get any other lineup in the American League moving forward, I mean, Toronto, maybe that's it over the Sox, but it's like, then this group hasn't put it together yet. What's going to happen moving forward? And now that they did
Toronto
it,
Toronto, the Yankees, maybe that's about it.
Yeah. Pitching staff. I mean, I don't know what happens with Rodon, but the rest is all coming back. Bullpen, I don't know what they're going to do with Kimbrel, but most of that's coming back. And like, it just, every time this happens now, where the group gets run out like that, it's like, what's going to change now? Cause the roster's not really, I don't think there's going to be much change unless you try to pull a shocker of a trade, but just, not the way you wanted to go out on a season like this, that built so much goodwill with the fan base. And you finally saw the stadium starting to sell out. Like, a lot, you started seeing finally a lot more national attention around this team, and to just get trotted out like that just kind of gives in, like you were saying, you know, the weak schedule the entire season, it kind of gives into that. They, you know, just weren't ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, no, it's tough. To answer your Kimbrel question, I think all reports are saying they're going to take his option and then try to trade him. Probably will be successful in doing so, and he'll go rocket wherever he pitches, because that's just what happens, right?
Yep.
And you know, he'll live in infamy on the South Side. But I don't want to beat him up too much. But I don't know. Any last thoughts? I guess you would say, if you could have a sit down with anybody that mattered, what would you say to them?
I think like the biggest thing for me that you saw in this series, and I don't know if it's an individual or if it's just a, you know, like a kind of more of an organizational thing, but there was such a difference in the Astros and what they did there. Like, every game, the White Sox starting pitcher came out and they shut him down the first inning. They maybe gave up a hit, but they didn't get scored on once in the first inning. And then as soon as guys started batting again, they came out there, they adjusted, they knew exactly what was coming. And Giolito was the only one to get into the fifth. Defensively, every game that series, you saw ground balls. When the White Sox, who hit the ball into the ground more than anybody, are hitting ground balls, it's right at their defensive players. White Sox, or the Astros hit it, it's going through the gaps. You know, it's just stuff like that where it's like, you know, basic defensive positioning using data that's available now. It's, you know, coming up with, you know, game plans and sticking to them. It's figuring out how to attack other teams' pitchers and lineups multiple times through an order. It's just a whole organizational thing where the talent gap isn't there, but it's just stuff like this where it's like, if they can clean that up, I think they're in a much better spot. But with that organization with La Russa there, are they going to do it? And I think that's probably the biggest thing to focus on moving forward.
Few things with me. Yeah. I think they were literally trying to win a ring on talent alone. Yep. And that's a problem. Nope. Because it takes so much more than that. It takes luck. It takes strategy. It takes an understanding of, you know, just deeper understanding than talent alone. They're probably, you're probably right, top to bottom, a more talented team than the Houston Astros. But guess what? Not only did La Russa get outmanaged by Dusty Baker, Dusty Baker is, you know, they're from the same era. So there's really no excuse on why, you know, La Russa wasn't shifting and Baker, you know, seemingly listened to whoever and said, put these guys here. And he said, yeah, no problem. So I think from an ego standpoint, I think La Russa has a big problem. If in fact he is not listening to the people that he should be, because yeah. Dusty Baker surely did. Additionally, I think the team itself did a disservice to its fans from the beginning of the season, and that is, talk to me after the parade. That is, yeah. We're the best fucking team in the American League, and the fans believed it. And the roster gave no indication that they were wrong. But if you're going to be saying things like that in the beginning, yeah. You better back it up. And you have to be embarrassed if you don't. And I don't think this team is embarrassed enough.
No, they're talking about how like successful it was. And then I saw Abreu said stuff about like they were less experienced. But like that difference on less experience is you more properly lay down a bunt in the ninth inning of game five to win the series. That's not being able to get a starting pitcher out of the fourth inning. Or like not being able to hit a ball into the gap. That's not experience. That's just not, I don't know if it's preparation. I don't know if it was the moment was too big. I don't know. Like, I still think this team has the talent all like to get there and do it like next year, the year after, one of these next couple of years, but just like, it just didn't seem like there was it came across as a failure to the players, the fan base. Totally. I think there's nobody that said like, this was still a successful season. Cause if you're saying that, you're nuts. You're rewriting it. Like you were saying, it's like, they've been talking about parades and all that. You can't go back and say that wasn't the goal.
Yeah, looking at the Cubs in 2016, I was trying to think of examples of similar hubris. There wasn't as much. It was more of the tone of, and they were probably coached to do this, but it's like, we know what we have to do. We're not sneaking up on anybody this year, blah, 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 blah. I mean, when they signed John Lackey, did you come here to win a ring? And he's like, well, I didn't come here for a haircut. But that was it. And then they just started the season 20-6, and, you know, the rest is history. I think that's a better blueprint. It's a bad, you know, it's a one-time anecdote. It's not, you know, the blueprint for anything else. But like, had the Cubs got disappointed in 2016, no one would have come back at them saying like, you know, they came in cocky.
Yeah, and it's like, it's the team doing it, like you said. But I mean, and again, I mean, just like, I would still make this trade going back, because you can't really use hindsight to judge a trade like this. But you don't trade your second baseman for the next 6 years for an eighth inning guy if the goal isn't World Series. If the goal was to get to the ALDS, they would have been just fine with the bullpen they had. But yeah, I mean, you don't. That's not how a team going to try to squeak into the playoffs operates.
Absolutely. All right, moving on.
Thank God.
I say, hey, we had to do it. You took it on the chin, but like a champ at the same time. Yep. Okay, so World Series. We are all Braves fans, unless of course you're a White Sox fan that wanted to say, you know, consolation prize, you lost to the eventual champions.
Yeah.
That's a very, narrow-minded way of looking at it. I am, for YouTube, rocking my Braves. This is a Markakis. If they win, they better give him a fucking ring or I'm going to riot. but in any case, first things first, how they got there. The Braves had probably the toughest road to get through, to get to the World Series, having to take down the Brewers and then the Dodgers. I mean, the Giants were a great team too, but the Braves weren't favored in either of those series whatsoever. It wasn't even close. In fact, they had 88 wins in the regular season. Then you look at the Astros, right? They had to beat probably the most talented team that made the playoffs from a strictly baseball talent perspective. And then had to beat the hottest team in baseball going into the postseason in the Red Sox. So I think, to say, the Braves definitely had the tougher road, but the Astros are probably the more talented team. But this has all the makings of kind of like that Nationals championship thing again with the Braves. So first thoughts on the matchup.
I mean, I think it's a mix of two totally different teams and how they got there. And I'm just going to throw out there that on our playoff preview episode, I did hedge my bets by saying whoever wins the White Sox-Astros series is going to win the World Series. So that kind of, you know, gave me a little bit of leeway there. But I think like the Braves, the crazy thing is, it's like, I mean, what? Acuña's a top five player in the sport. He's been out. Soraka popped his Achilles again. bunch of their starters aren't there anymore, and they had to go out and get Jock Peterson, who was not good at all with the Cubs. They traded, what, some double-A first baseman for him?
Yeah.
They got who else did they go out and get? Duvall, like, from Miami. Like, just this ragtag group of players, and now they're just putting it together. Jock's out there in the pearl necklace just ripping homers out there. Eddie Rosario is out there, and I think the announcers are confusing him with Ahmed Rosario because they're talking about his speed, and he's, like, not that fast of a guy.
Right.
But it's just – it's like it doesn't seem like the team that should be there with those injuries, and yet they're still there. The Astros, though, I have such a hard time picking or thinking that they're not going to win. Like we saw in the Red Sox series, the Red Sox dominated them for three games, and then it was even into, like, the eighth inning of game four, and then it's like the Astros just said, okay, enough is enough, and then they just murdered them the next three games. Like, the fact that they can just flip a switch like that, even without Lance McCullers out there, who, like, of course, the White Sox are the team that had to face him two out of four games, and now no one else does. But it's like, it's the juggernaut against the upstart team that got hot at the right time, which is basically 2 weeks in October. So it's going to be fun. I think it's too, like, regardless of what you think about the Astros, and Braves have a whole bunch of other stuff on the side, but, like, I am much happier we got this matchup than Astros-Dodgers again, with all due respect to John Hayes.
Absolutely. Great throwing that in there. Yeah, I wanted the Red Sox-Braves matchup, but this is the second best scenario. Don't want the Astros in, but they are in. And I think it's going to be a good series. I'll make the prediction later. Let's just put it that way. We'll talk about that towards the end of the episode. But I agree with a lot of your points. The Astros are you know, they're the villains. They're the empire. But there's some likable things about it. The longer it's been since 2003, the more I've just, like, forgotten about hating Dusty Baker. I was a big hater on him when he was the Nats manager because I thought he was just a bad manager with the Nationals. He made a lot of bad decisions, but all of a sudden, whoever's telling him to do things, he's just saying yes, and it's working.
Yep.
But now there's rumors that Correa wants to be a Cub. I don't know. It's just – there's a lot in play here. I do love the fact that Freddie Freeman's in the World Series. He's, you know, the reigning NL MVP, just seemingly a pretty likable guy. But that's what everyone says about Rizzo too. So who's to say, right? But in any case, yeah, I'm really excited about the matchup. I think the Astros are the by and far favorite. But we've seen crazier things. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, the Braves winning those two series was I wouldn't have picked either. I mean, clearly we both picked the Brewers, so that's what both of us thought about the Braves.
Yeah, absolutely. And by, you know, every standard, yeah, there's no reason why we wouldn't have. A couple more Chicago ties from a couple of these games. Obviously, we have the Dusty Baker, the potential of Carlos Correa. And then you have an announcing team, Chip Carey. Former Cubs announcer, total schmuck, is the announcer for the Braves. Probably won't be announcing any more games this year. And Kelly Kroll, former sideline gal for the Cubs during their run, maybe brings some good luck down to Atlanta. Maybe gets another ring. That'd be pretty impressive as well. So just kind of things that are tying it in. Obviously, the Cubs and the Braves have just this very interesting history with the whole Greg Maddux thing. I was watching some highlights today about a Braves playoff win, and Paul Bacco was rushing the mound. So that's always an interesting throwback. But as far as, like, you know, allegiances go, I think everybody's more just looking at hating the Astros as opposed and the underdog. Like, the perfect team to put up against, you know, a team of evil, if you will, is a team that you know, overshot the spread to get there.
Yeah, I think, and, like, just the more the Astros go into this is, like, because obviously 2019 was before the story broke, so this is obviously the closest they've been to winning again since 2017, since we've known about the whole scandal. It just makes me think about how back in 2017, like, guys like Correa, Altuve, like, everybody, like, by and far nationally, these guys were pretty well-liked players. Like, I don't think anyone had anything against them, which is just now crazy that, like, that's how where we're at. I mean, it's totally warranted. They're going to wear it the rest of their careers, which probably justified given how they didn't get any other punishment. So I'm sure they'd take it. But it's just kind of funny looking back at that, how, like, it used to be kind of like the plucky upstart group. Like, they were on the cover of Sports Illustrated. They were, like, the model rebuild for a number of years. Now they're basically the Yankees.
Yeah, it is crazy to think about it. I didn't even, you know, do that calculus that this is the first time everyone's getting to see them in the playoffs since yep. they've been accused of cheating. So that's super interesting. But yeah, no, they were a super likable team. Everybody was cheering for them to beat the Dodgers in the World Series just because, you know, the American affinity for the underdog. And they were the underdog, and that was one of the best World Series to watch ever, really. It was like back and forth, seven games. Game seven was a letdown because Yu Darvish couldn't pitch for some reason. But every other game leading to that was, you know, walk-off homers and extra innings and just long-ass games. And it was great. Yep. And then, oh, man, how quickly it turns when you cheat.
And then, like, 2019, I remember, like, that ALCS walk-off from Altuve against Chapman. Like, that was, like, and I mean, then obviously that came under controversy because the whole saying he had a buzzer on, I don't think he did then. But, you know, that was such a cool thing because it's like, oh, thank God they took down the Yankees there. And now it's like, well, we don't like these guys either, so.
Yeah, the whole you die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. I'm sure that hasn't been said more than a few times in regards to this Astros team. But in any case, since you know we're talking about the series now, I think predictions are in order. I'm going to go bananas with mine.
Okay.
I'm going Braves in five.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay. They're not going to sweep. I'm doing it. You know why? Because if I'm wrong, everyone's like, ah, he was just making this crazy pick. But if I'm right, holy shit. But yeah, okay. I think Charlie Morton is a great starting pitcher for to open the series because of how nasty his stuff is, which is why I wanted the Sox not to start Lance Lynn in game one, is because you needed somebody with stuff. Dylan Cease definitely probably not the right pick that I was going for. But Giolito game one would have made a whole lot more sense just because you get their timing off. But in any case, when the Astros aren't seeing, you know, fireballs, they're not doing as well. So I don't know. You start Charlie Morton, you give him two starts, something like that. I don't know. I just feel optimistic-ish. I really want the Braves to win. That's who, you know, that's who I said I wanted to win, my Braves. And I'm doing the what you do all the time is just take whatever team you like and just say you've been with them from the get-go. Yeah, I've been Braves this whole time. So in any case,
day one, man.
Day one Braves fan. Yeah. So actually, that was one of my first fast pitch teams. We were the Braves. So see, I've been there this whole time. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm going Braves in five, which is insane, but I'm gonna do it anyway. I'm sure yours is a little bit different.
I can't, the way I've seen, well, for up close and personal with the White Sox, the way I've seen the Astros just dominate the White Sox and then get dominated by the Red Sox and then flip a switch and just blow them out of the water the next three, I can't pick against them as much as I hate to do this. I'm going with the Astros in six. On that, though, I am picking that they're going to lose game one. The Astros are going to lose game one. But I think just after that, I think they just adjust better than any team I've seen this year in the playoffs. Like they could fall behind by a bunch of runs and they could still come back and win. Game by game, they can flip a switch. Not having McCullers hurts them, but it just seems like if you were writing a storybook of this season, like, of course the Astros would win. Like, of course this year, first time fans are back after the whole scandal broke, they would win. I can't pick against them.
Fair enough. So that kind of concludes World Series talk. We'll have a lot more to talk about in regards to that. A few other very interesting things happened in the MLB. I think most specifically, the Cardinals firing Mike Schilt.
Yeah.
That one made, or not firing, but mutually agreeing to part ways. Of course, this is a better way of going about it. Because, of course, Mike Schilt didn't want to, you know, coach this team anymore after winning 17 straight and then, you know, taking them to the playoffs when they were clearly out of it beforehand. So his job was done. I don't get it. I really don't.
No,
but, you know, they just hired Marmol today, a 35-year-old, to manage the team. So
younger than Ueno and Yadi.
Maybe they are going for the player manager thing where Yadi's just going to not let it happen.
Dude, the more I read about that, it was like they said it was an organizational difference between Schilt and the front office, but that it only come up in like the last like month or two. So it's like, what could he have possibly said that they were like, we got to pull? He's made the playoffs, I think, every year he's been there. And he came into I would call it kind of a mess, the culture they had under Matheny.
Oh, yeah.
And he got him like, yeah, and like he got this team like to the playoffs 3 years in a row. And like, I don't know what he could have possibly said that they were that much like, we're pulling the plug on this whole thing right now. And they didn't fire the rest of the
team. Like, what if he just called them a bunch of bitch boys or something? They're like, all right, now we have organizational differences.
That was shocking. Because I thought, like, I mean, I'm not the biggest Cardinals guy out there. You know, 4 years I lived in St. Louis, I kind of got on the bandwagon a bit because the Sox were awful those years. But, like, I don't see what he could have done differently to keep his job there.
I think I know what happened. He realized how boring the city was and got out.
He questioned that the fans were the best fans in baseball, and that's just a no-go.
That is certainly a no-go. He also turned down Christian Knight at the ballpark. So
oh, boy.
That was, yeah. But in any case, all right. So I think this is a good place to wrap up. We definitely will have more to talk about as the World Series begins tomorrow from recording time. So this will air Tuesday morning. So it'll be World Series Game 1 by the time this comes up. So really excited, obviously. Playoff baseball is great. World Series is great. I hope it is a fun series. Of course, I hope the Braves win in 5, so I look like a genius. But in any case, final question for you, Pat. Who will be the MVP of the World Series?
Ooh, I am going to go with – obviously I picked the Astros, so it's going to be an Astro. I'm going to go with Kyle Tucker. I think maybe I can discard from him hitting – you know, whatever he hit against the White Sox, and just
I think it was that, 895.
It was up there. He was the one that put him up in Game 3. But I wanted to say Correa or Altuve, but I don't think it's going to be one of those guys. Like we saw in the last series, Yordan Alvarez not around for the scandal, and he wouldn't. I think Kyle Tucker just looks like an October guy, like no batting gloves, kind of that left-handed swing. I don't really have a better reason than that.
He's like the Rays Phillips, Brett Phillips, like that kind of, you know, just very likable. Around for the BS. My pick is, of course, young Jock Peterson. For some reason, he's lighting it up. And if the Braves are going to win, and in fact, win in 5, if you haven't heard that already, he's going to have to hit like 4 or 5 bombs, which if anybody's capable of pulling 5 home runs out of their ass, it's Jock Peterson.
He's got a track record of it.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, there was points in time where he wasn't on a starting lineup, and then he'd barely squeak on those Dodger playoff rosters and then just hit 5 home runs.
Yeah, so, yeah, went from being a platoon bat and then, yeah, just kind of going off there. But, yeah, if I were to pick the Braves, that's who I'd go with, too. So, luckily, we didn't both pick the Braves. That would have been a very boring radio.
Very, very boring indeed. Speaking of not boring radio, though, this show can be listened to on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere else you get your podcasts. And then you can check out the articles and actually the show as well. It's on Chicago.com. I'm sure we'll be putting up some more stuff as it comes to the end of the season. Pat, I'm excited for World Series. Thank you again for joining us again, as it is very important what the new Cardinals manager must remember as he is now coaching older players. Yadi Molina is not a Hall of Famer. Go Cubs, go White Sox, go baseball. Come on, baby, don't you wanna go? Come on, baby, don't you wanna go? Back to that same old place, sweet home, Chicago.